Welcome to Everyday Entrepreneurs Everywhere with your host, Chris Parker.
And welcome back to Everyday Entrepreneurs Everywhere. This is Chris Parker, and I'm having a conversation with Menno Valkenburg, who is currently in Rome, and he splits his time between Rome and Rotterdam in his role supporting organizations internationally as a project pilot. Before I try to define that, I think, Menno, let's jump over to you and can you share what is it as a project pilot do you do? So what do you do and why do you do what you do?
It's a great question. Thank you, Chris, for having me on the podcast. After about 25 years working in projects, I realized that my natural role is that of a project pilot. And I use that term as a metaphor to the pilot boat that you see in these big harbors. Rotterdam is a big harbor. And in order for these big ships to get in and out of the harbor, they use these pilot boats. So the pilot gets on board and helps guide the ship through a challenging situation. Now, that is exactly what I do with projects. In, as you said, in an international context, sometimes projects that are defined can be quite complicated, and maybe on paper they look beautiful, but then when you need to implement them, it's sort of a different story. So to get them started, to let them leave the harbor, the client would hire me, the project team would hire me, and I would work alongside with the project manager, the project team, to help the project get started. That's one, intervention that I help facilitate. But actually, my first encounter in this was right at the end. That was when a project was having difficulties completing and finalizing. And the project sponsor was getting very worried. So they hired me to help understand what the project was doing and why they had trouble getting into the harbor, to use that metaphor. And I worked with the project team to help guide that project back into the harbor. So that was sort of when I started to realize that my natural role is that of a project pilot, helping project teams and projects.
And you seem to enjoy it. As you're saying it with enthusiasm, all this. So what is it about this that you enjoy?
Yeah, so I guess my passion has always been with projects. I think my first job, I was already touched with projects, and I think especially working with people in projects, because you can have beautiful tools and techniques and documents and all kinds of things, but at the end of the day, it's the people that make the project work or not work. And I'm really passionate to work with people, collaborate with people, and see if together we can get to a sustainable result. And that really drives me, especially also the sustainability side of things. Over the past years, really has grabbed my attention, and I really get passionate about those projects that really try to achieve sustainable results, and that I can help these project teams to get there.
I'm curious, without going into specifics, because I know some of that is sensitive, but what is an example or two of types of projects? And I'm looking for scale here. Sure. that are most appropriate for having a pilot, either at the start, probably most wisely at the start, or at the end?
Yeah. A group of projects that definitely is benefiting from having this pilot at the start is projects that are funded and sponsored by what I call the multilateral development banks. So in the world, if, for example, I did a lot of work in Latin America and the Caribbean, and I'm actually still on a project in the Caribbean as we speak. And those projects tend to be quite big projects. They're typically about 5 years in duration. The budget can be anywhere between, 5 million, and the project I'm now on is about $8 million. And the thing is, they have to achieve certain results, because the donors, they want to see the result, they want to be able to track the results. So the document is, or the project is typically documented very well. So on paper, it really looks very structured and organized. But then getting the people to actually implement and execute those projects, that is where the challenge is. So moving, let's say, that project or program from a paper-based exercise to a real thing, that is where my role as a project pilot really comes in handy. And it's a temporary role, because my objective is always to, let's say, train and coach the local team, the local people who need to implement that project, so that they can implement that on their own. But they just need a little bit of help to get going. Like the big ship in the harbor, they don't really know the harbor, so they need a little bit of help getting. So I think the value is absolutely there. At the same time, I've also been asked to get on board of a project that was, let's say, a little bit off course or off track, or maybe even stranded. And then it can be beneficial to have sort of a third party come in and see, okay, what can we do to get the project moving again? And I think what I also started to realize is that because in many cases, people are a bit afraid when sort of an outside company comes on board. They're a little bit afraid that maybe they take over the whole thing, they kick out all the people and things like that. And I'm not that. I from day one, I say, okay, I get on board, but I want to be off board as soon as possible. As soon as we're moving, as soon as you can continue your journey, I'm gone. And that's my whole objective, is to help you as long as necessary, provide value as long as necessary, and no longer. So in a way, I always try to create sort of a win-win. I don't want to be on board for the whole 5 years of the program. So I'm not really a threat, let's say, to the mm-hmm. to the team. And I really try to work and collaborate with the team to get the project moving again and on their way to achieve these sustainable results. Mm-hmm.
So. I'm curious, Menno, and on your website, which is onefocus-projects.com, and that's the number one, and then the word focus-projects.com, you have a checklist that you can receive by email. Can you share with, like, maybe the top three, you know, based on your experience, the top three things where projects go wrong from the start, you know, that are just typically missed?
Yes, absolutely. I think there are a key factor, which is also in the checklist, is the stakeholders involved in the project and understanding your stakeholders from day one and engaging with them from day one in the decisions, in the project decisions, in the execution decisions that you need to make. So that's one key element. What I see a lot is that projects are defined and become quite complicated. And they become so complicated that people don't really understand anymore what needs to be done. And they're basically overwhelmed. They don't know where to start. So a concept that I use to clarify things is what I call the triple constraint, which is a project management technique that is used by lots of project managers. But I found it a very powerful technique, because it's basically, it's also called the devil's triangle between, okay, what is the scope of your project, the time, and the budget that you have. And what you see, or what I see a lot, is that there's no balance between those three. So you try to achieve a huge scope with a very limited amount of time with hardly any budget. So then you already know this is not going to work. So what I usually do is I do a quick check and see, okay, is your triple constraint balanced? And if that's not the case, then I used that exact visual to discuss work, what can we do to make it work, and I can get started and get moving. And then I think a third element that I see more and more in projects coming that that cause sort of a derail or challenges in projects is around risks and uncertainties. In projects, you have a lot of uncertainties. That's a nice thing also about projects, but people find it difficult to what to do with those uncertainties. Now, project risk management is there to help you as a project manager, as a project team, to really identify, analyze, and mitigate those risks and those uncertainties. So yeah, those I would say are sort of three key elements. And then an overarching element, which I really love, and that's why I love this work, is the team and the people you do the project with. So without the team, without the people, without having a good functioning team and hopefully a good performing team, it will be very difficult to get your project to a successful completion.
I can imagine for large, complex projects and programs, it having defined and ran and failed some of these myself, to have a wise, trusted advisor sanity check, because we have fallen in love with our baby and we're sure that it is, it's going to be the best project ever. And what do they say? It's like 75-80% of the large programs fail to achieve their intended benefits or outcome. If people listening are running some large complex projects, what is it a signal to that executive, a responsible executive, that they should call Menno and do a sanity check? Or is this something that they should do on all large projects? What are sort of the anti-patterns that say, hey, you need some piloting here?
I think there are a couple of triggers for like a sponsor or even somebody in a project team to maybe trigger and say, hey, maybe we need some help here. I think as a sponsor, if you really don't really understand what's going on in the project or in the program, this sounds a bit weird, but I've come into various situations, because sponsors are usually very busy people. I mean, they're executives in companies and organizations, so they don't always have time to look at all these projects in detail, and they don't have to. But they need to be able to rely on the project manager, on the project team, on the reporting. But basically, if the sponsor has the feeling that this project is sort of a black box, and one day you hear this story and the next day you hear a different story, or you hear the same story every week and things are not really moving, that is probably a trigger to say, hey, maybe it's a good time to have somebody look at this and see how we can improve the situation. The challenge, I think, is that it happens usually when it's almost already too late. So maybe when the project is already sort of stranded or is already way out of track, so then it also becomes more costly to get the project back on track. So I think the sooner you can identify those triggers, the better. Actually, that checklist that you just referred to on my website, those 10 items are basically 10 items that as a sponsor or a project team member, you can check and say, okay, are we doing this? Do we have this in place? And to what extent do we understand what's going on this specific topic? So if you're not able to score any of these items or the majority of these items, then it's probably a good thing to do something. And it doesn't even have to be calling me. I mean, you can use that checklist on your own with your team and see what you can do on your own, because it's not rocket science. They they sometimes say about project management, the discussion is, okay, is this an art or is it sort of science? I think it's always a mix of the two. And there's a lot you can do. You can find a lot of resources. If you want somebody to talk to and to discuss things, I'm there to help.
Well, sometimes I've been on or related to large programs that basically needed a jerk to come in and maybe, you know, speak truth to power and say, this isn't working. Or drive down and say, you know, it is inappropriate what's happening here. We got in touch through Vin Luberson, and we'll talk about that in a bit. And both yourself and Vin have seemed very cordial, very almost gentle personalities. Do you also play that role of that jerk for hire, or is that not the style?
Well, that's interesting. Over the years, I learned also more about myself. And a couple of years ago, I realized I'm probably not a natural jerk. You have these tests that you can do, and I'm a very green, supportive person. So I like to help people, support people, and move on. I'm not sure what color the jerk would be, but there's a little anecdote that I would like to share that actually relates back to my first project that I did, that I realized, okay, now I'm a project pilot. And this was a project in Suriname. We were living in Suriname at the time. And I was hired by this sponsor, and he didn't have a clue what was going on in this project. And there was this very experienced program director managing the project. But then the sponsor, was sort of in the blind what's going on. And it wasn't completing, it wasn't finishing. And they asked for extensions, and it was going nowhere. So I remember I came to his office of this program director, and he said, so Mr. Valkenburg, you're the 37th consultant that the IDB is sending to me. What are you going to tell me? And basically what he was saying is, okay, they probably sent 36 jerks to me to get what are you going to add to this? And I took a completely different approach. I read a lot about the project, and I shared that, but I also shared that there was a big problem, and that actually together we had a big problem because nobody really knew what needed to be done to finish this project. And apparently that hit the right tone. So from there, at least we got in a conversation. And then I also said, I cannot fix this on my own. We can work together, we can collaborate, and then I think together we can fix it. So are you open to that? So that I think is quite, let's say, essential in my approach. I'm not sort of the jerk or the military commander that is going to do sort of a very directive style getting people through. And there are absolutely projects that need that. So for those projects, I'm not the right guy. And I'll be very open to that because I'm not a great actor. So I know sometimes you have to play different roles and take different leadership styles, but to go to a jerk style, that is probably not my cup of tea. But I think the approach that I'm taking can definitely work, even in very difficult situations where sort of a turnaround has to happen. But my approach is to sort of do it together and with the people. So that's again that people side that I really love, with the people, try to solve the issue and bring clarity in the project. So I think that's also more sustainable, because to me, sustainability is not just about the environment, but also about the people and how you do things and how you work. So I guess that's my style, if you like. But it's a great point. And so you've been.
Well, sometimes they need a jerk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe it's, you know, sometimes they just need some tough love. And also, you know, oftentimes executives who are excellent at ongoing operations are not so excellent at major change, because these have different dynamics, different risk profiles. And if they're not careful, they can quickly spin out of control, you know, and these, you know,
absolutely
can be career ending events. At least with that, those organizations. So you mentioned the word sustainability. And as you know, I'm working with Vim Luberson and other people around a sustainability sprint, which is based on the Simplicity Scan, which people can download at ebullion.com. And that has been ported with Cuba and other consultants to a sustainability scan. And you were kind enough to help us configure and use Miro as the virtual brainstorm tool. So I'm curious, and you've also participated in one of the test events. Seeing how this works online, at a distance as part of a sprint. I'm curious, what is your perspective of what Vim and I and Jessica and Simon are working on? Like what was your takeaway and your contribution to that?
Yeah, I think it's what I love is the combination of the simplicity scan and then the sustainability aspect of it. So as you said, I participated in the pilot, and it really helped me to, well, first of all, I think focus on the business that you're doing and the purpose. Why are you doing the business? What is the value that you're adding? Really understand the questions that are in the scan are really thought-provoking and really force you to think well about the business. The sustainability aspect. I think the more and more that I also do projects, basically for myself, I've decided, okay, I'm not gonna work on any project that I cannot support from, let's say, a sustainability perspective. So every client that I have or every project that I work on has to have elements of sustainability. If it's a project that doesn't have that, then I'm just saying no. And so I think it's good that we still mention it as sustainability, but I think that the sustainability principles you should embed in whatever you do and in every decision that you take. What I found is, if you bring in the sustainability criteria as a criteria in your decision making process, it makes decision making so much easier. Sometimes you're really thinking, okay, should I go there? Just bring in a sustainability criteria, and then the decision flows almost automatically. So I think the way you set up this sustainability scan and also now being able to do it in an online or maybe in a hybrid situation, I think especially in these times is essential. And we did it completely online and with the Miro board, where you can have your post-its and do your voting and things like that. I think it's absolutely the way to go. And it really, I think, helps companies to focus on what is essential and really get to their roadmap going forward to become more sustainable and more successful.
I'm curious if you can remember back, because a couple of weeks ago now, was there a particular question that was presented to you that caused a particular insight or thought about your own business? Just for people who are listening, we had, I think, 8 people from all over the world the U.S. Vim from South Africa, yourself, and they were basically looking at their own business. During these tests, was there something that was particularly insightful or confronting that you took away?
I remember that there were some questions were challenging, but were I could quite easily answer, or at least give it thought and put my feedback. I don't recall exactly which question, but I know there was one where I was a little bit. I guess I had a writer's block, and I wasn't sure sort of what to put there. But the nice thing about how it is set up is that you spend time to think about your business and to write down your thoughts and things like that, and then you have an opportunity to share that with a partner. So it really, as you say, it's called a sprint. So it's iterative. So you always have opportunities to improve and to explain and learn from your previous work. So I think, and that's also to me a very powerful part of the whole scan is that adaptability and iterative approach to make it better. But I cannot really list one of the questions. I think all questions were relevant. It really helped me, even questions about the data and how you measure things. I think the question where I was a little bit how you measure sort of your results and your goals and things like that. That was sort of an eye opener. I said, okay, maybe I should spend a little bit more time on that and get that in order a bit better. So
For me, it's so much fun because it's basically 15 simple questions that are sometimes profoundly difficult to answer. And if anyone's interested to get the simplicity scan, that's available for free. You can just download that from peopleleap.com, fill it out yourself, and then also be confronted. And we are perfecting, with Menno's help, putting this into a structured process. It's a 5-step simplicity sprint for enterprise teams and organizations. Super cool. So Menno, starting to wrap up my round of questions, looking at your LinkedIn profile, you have quite a few certifications of different things. Like there's the Green Project Management, I think, is that a certification?
Yep.
Or the GPM 360? So I'm curious, what is the GPM, and how does that contribute to your success as a project pilot as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I ran into GPM or Green Project Management. I think it was around 2014, and it's an organization that really promotes green project management or sustainable project management. It's a global organization. They've issued a P5 standard for sustainability in projects. Or it's 5 P's. It's the 3 P typically would be planet, people, and profit. But what they add to that is product and process, because typically in projects you work towards a product or maybe a service. So that has sustainability aspects, but also the processes that you use. For example, a procurement process, and how sustainable is that procurement? If you think maybe about transportation and things like that. So I really got inspired by what they offer. And typically when I like to learn more about a certain topic, and if I see they have a certification, I say, okay, let's go and see what do I need to do to get that certification. So that helps me to really start studying the the topic, and then it's nice at the end of the day that you do this exam and then you get this little paper. So that's the GPMB, and the GPM 360 is something I did last year, which is from the same organization, but now they were looking for some consultants and assessors that can help organizations to assess how sustainable are they and how sustainable are their projects. So they basically developed an assessment framework. And if a company is interested to see, okay, are my projects really sustainable? They can hire one of the assessors or consultants to do that assessment. So I'm one of their recognized or registered assessors to help organizations to basically verify where they are on their sustainability. Now, I'll be honest, that hasn't really skyrocketed in terms of number of engagement. I think that's still an area that may develop. But again, I wanted to learn, and I wanted to be able to apply those sustainable practices to my projects and what I do. And it really makes me more conscious in decisions that I take in projects. It makes me more conscious about my own business decisions that I take within my own business. So it all contributes to becoming more sustainable and hopefully leaving this world a little bit better place for my children and future generations.
I love it. It looked really interesting. So I remember when I was doing research, because we've spoken a few times, but also digging a little deeper. And like, I think you have those two certifications. So okay, this is something that you not only did once, but you came back and did again. So it looks really interesting. So and before I wrap up, just a thank you as well for investing your time in supporting Vim and myself on the sustainability scan and sustainability sprint. Looking forward to collaborating with you further on that. We have a our first enterprise client going through the sustainability sprint first couple of weeks of May. So that might be done by the time this is published. So outstanding. And right. If people are feeling that maybe that little discomfort in their large project or program, and they need a bit of a pilot assistance, you can find Menno at the number one, focus-projects.com. And of course, the links to all that will be in his LinkedIn are on the show notes. So Menno, thank you so much for joining. This has been delightful.
Thank you very much, Chris. It was a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me for the podcast and also participating in the sustainability scan. And I wish you all the best with your business and also the podcast. I think it's a great initiative. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. Like and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player and download the Simplicity Kit from ebullient.com.